Our board is finishing up eating. They will be in just a minute. I just wanted to let you know if you're on the line.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Here for the hearing, huh?
Oh, we're on.
Oh, we're on?
Yeah, I went ahead because I wanted to make sure that
we were on time.
Yes. No, it's fine. I let the participants know.
No, I just had them take
me to it. You need to sign this. Okay.
Sleep over here. So what? Huge plate of food, and I ate too much of it. Our meeting be about an hour shorter, though.
Just stepped on my daughter's.
land, but purchasing the house is still there because the tent is in the house. I'm going to sign all the paperwork on the tent, which is
Tyler's higher
barn.
Or y'all have a
We've already got the calls.
Yeah. We already got people.
So I guess we're ready to go, aren't we?
Still like Ben.
Like Ben.
Max and Adrian, are you on the line?
Yeah. Sure, really.
Is that you, Adrian?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and that was you, Max?
Yes, that was me.
Okay. All right, we just lack one more board member.
I know, he has
Facebook. We end at
12:01. You can just read.
Yeah, I've got that.
Too much trouble.
It is.
Okay, looks like we've got everybody here. Said the board ended its closed executive session at 12:01 this afternoon, a.m. on August 30th, 2021. Our first item on the agenda is public hearing 2021 Hired College and SWID budgets. The budget hearing is now in session. Notice of this budget hearing has been printed through the news media. Citizens are now invited to present their views concerning Hired College budget and the Southwest Collegiate College for the deaf budget. All who desire to be heard shall record their names with the Secretary of the Board of Trustees, Adrian Cavio, and all those so recorded will be heard. Is there anyone wishing to be heard? I do not see anyone. So therefore, since there is no other discussion of the budget of Hired College, the Southwest College or the Deaf, close this hearing.
Can I ask you a question? Can I close this door without screwing up the open meeting?
Surely.
We have that
one. Yeah, and people can see in, so
close.
It's hard when those students are, yeah.
They want to play pool.
Yeah, absolutely. They want to join them playing pool. Eric, you had started the thing, right?
Yes. Good vote, yes.
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay.
Okay, next item on our agenda is to reconvene our regular meeting, and Ms. Patricia Bennett has agreed to give us our invocation today.
Would you bow with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, you're such an awesome God, and we come to you with thankful hearts. We're so thankful for all the blessings that you give us. We're thankful for the college. We're thankful for the leaders of the college and the faculty and the staff that work so diligently to make sure that the kids and the faculty and everyone is safe and that it's ran to the best of their ability. And Father, we thank you for them. Thank you for the food that we had today and nourishing to our bodies and our bodies to your service. And forgive us,
men,
and thank you for Jesus.
Amen. All right. Do we have any guests that we don't recognize?
No, please so.
I don't see anybody. Okay, so our first agenda. This time the board will hear comments and questions from individuals who have not requested on a specific place on the agenda. And I don't see anyone to do that. So therefore, we will move on to our regular agenda items, our routine matters. You've had a chance to read those in your iPads and also on your notes. I'd need a vote, motion and a second to approve those. Have a motion.
Second.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Okay, our next item on the agenda is unfinished business. We don't have any, so therefore it's a new business. And the first item on the agenda is listening and future direction for the district.
Okay, Mr. Chairman and board members, first update on the final pricing of the revenue refunding bonds. If you'll recall, back at the last board meeting on August the 2nd, actually, you passed an order authorizing this effort to begin. And Jason Hughes has been with Hilltop Securities, has been working on that since that time. And Jason is on the line. Jason, are you there?
I'm here, Dr. Sparks.
Okay. And so I'll just make this point about Jason. He's worked with us for many years with our general obligation and revenue bonds and does a great job of reminding us when things are due and raising his hand when there's an opportunity that he thinks that we need to consider, just as this one is, a refunding. And so he reached out to us to make us aware that it was that the opportunity existed to do that with this revenue refunding bond, which is the dorms, the residence hall years ago. No, keep that one open. Sorry. And so, Jason, if you want to go through the process and let the board know.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. So, President and trustee members, good afternoon. Good to be with you. So Dr. Sparks gave a great overview. You actually approved the parameter order, as she said, on August 2nd. And so we actually received bids last week. The bonds were sold via a private placement, so meaning that we put out a term sheet to a pretty significant list of banks and ask for bids back from those banks. And so as you can see on the summary page, we've received three bids, with the lowest being Truist Bank at 1.38%. And so the nice thing is we're taking the 2009 revenue bonds, which carry an interest rate of 4.6%, and we are more than halving or having that rate. So again, from a 4.60% down to a 1.38%. So the final par amount of the refunding bonds is $1,915,000. Crucially, there's no extension of the terms, so we kept the exact same terms. All we're doing is, again, lowering debt service, much like what would happen if you were refinancing a home mortgage. So you see there the gross debt service savings is about $235,000. That is locked in. And so we take those savings from fiscal years 2023 through 2030. And since we do take those over time, over that seven-year span, we also present value those savings. So said another way, we're trying to get savings in today's dollars. And so those present value savings are about $219,000, or about 10.5% of refunded bonds. And just to give you an idea, that last little metric, the percentage of refunding bonds, is kind of a common metric we use to just measure the efficiency of a refunding. And typically what we target is anywhere from 3% to 5%. So well over two times of kind of the higher end of what we normally target. That last little bullet point there before closing, the refunding bonds are callable anytime. The nice thing about that is that you, the college, control that. And so if at any point in the future, if you had some excess funds and wanted to just pay that debt off completely, you have the freedom to do that. So it's just another flexibility item or feature that's put into those refunding bonds. So the last thing is all public debt issues in the state of Texas go to the Attorney General's office. And so once his office approves the refunding, and that's typically roughly about a 30-day process, we have closing scheduled for September 29th, and that is the point where the refunding bond proceeds will be delivered to the old paying agent, and those bonds will be fully taken out at that point. The other item that was included is just the final pricing, and so this shows the cash flows. Columns B through D shows the current debt service on the 2009 revenue bonds. You have in red there the column E, so that's what's being refunded, which is all of it. So we're taking out all of the 09 bonds, and then F through H. These are the new replacement bonds, and then we do have a contribution coming from the college. And all that does is that downsizes the amount of refunding bonds to be issued, and it means that your debt service for the current fiscal year, or what, beg your pardon, for 8/31/22, will not change whatsoever. And then you see there column K in the bold, your savings there, $27,500 in 2023, and then you can see it goes down through 2030. And again, that provides $235,000 plus in gross savings. So very happy with that. I had conservatively estimated about a 2% interest rate, and that 2% interest rate was going to be about $155,000 in savings. And instead, again, we have roughly about $80,000 more than that. So very happy with the interest rates that we got from Truist Bank. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
I don't know if you could hear, Jason, that there were, you had a superb from...
Oh, okay. Fantastic.
Yeah, trustee.
I would start clapping my hands if I could.
So, well, I appreciate, and I apologize I couldn't be there in person today, but I appreciate just the board's trust in me, and it's been great working with Dr. Sparks, with Terry, with Brenda, because I've been working with them for quite some time, and obviously you, the college as well. So it's always my pleasure to do that, and just happy that can provide some savings in this interest rate environment.
We appreciate your efforts.
Very good.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to move on to our next agenda item, which is the adoption of annual budget for Higher College and SWID 2021-2022 budget.
No, they've already done that. That was just an update. Okay, on the budgets. Well, every budget year is a long process, and this is no exception. We started off back in the spring with really, when you were working on your vision and mission and goals, you were setting the process for the budget in place. We certainly had some interesting variables going on with the pandemic and what was happening relative to that as we worked through the process. You increased tuition and fees. In the March board meeting, that was something that, a decision that was made. Of course, we were in the middle of the legislative session this budget year, and so we were waiting to see what was going to happen with that, you know, the results of that. So that was another part of the session or the process this time. And we know the outcomes. Federal funds, we were able to, the money that would have lost in the legislative appropriation, we were able to get that recovered through the federal funds, so we didn't lose legislative dollars, which was good. Then we moved into the kind of the final stretch when you made your final decision on the vision and mission statement and the goals and what you wanted us to work on. And in June, you gave us budget directions, and then we worked on that preliminary budget. And as you know, the preliminary budget is initially we're working on the unrestricted part. And so that was what was worked on at the workshop on August the 18th, all building up to that day. And then the decisions you made that day then drove this final, putting everything together, putting the restricted part with the unrestricted. So now we have a total budget. And so it's a long process, and to complicate it even more is what we do because of the fact that we have a Big Spring and Lamesa and a San Angelo and a SWID budget, and we work on those independently. And that's a choice that we make. That's what Howard College does, because we try to do that so that we can make sure that we are addressing each particular campus with what their revenue streams are. And we always say that we keep the – it's very important that we keep the – we know that the the tax dollars of Howard County. We make sure that they stay in Howard County. We the tuition and fees for each campus, all of that is taken into account as we keep all those separate budgets. So then, after your work at the preliminary budget adoption, or not adoption, approval, then again, we've worked on these restricted budgets and we've got everything finalized, and I will just say that, Brenda, it's always a chore, but I have to, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but this has been a big, big challenging year for Brenda, but as always, she has pulled through and put it all together. She would want me to quickly say that a lot of other people were involved in it, and they were. So, finally then, the 21-22 all funds budget, and this includes internal transfers, and it merges the unrestricted, the restricted, the construction and retirement of indebtedness, all of that together. And so the total for the district budget is $55,104,841, as compared to last year's district total of $59,972.93. So that's a negative variance of negative $4,867,252. It's mainly due to the roofing project and some of those things that they're in a construction account now. We're working on the project. It's still in progress. We also, as far as the unrestricted, again, that's all part of that, but that was what was worked on at the budget workshop. That was what related to the salaries, you know, what we did with the salaries, the steps. We did address some 10 to 20 year caps as far as allowing that to be brought in. That was part of the salary work. Repair and maintenance projects, and that varied by the campus. Technology also varied by the campus. Special projects that we were working on relative to the goals that we discussed, that was by campus. The San Angelo debt retirement, and then also the insurance 2% buy down, and that was based on application to the respective sites. So all of that, then the district unrestricted budget, which is a part of, again, that all funds. And that's without the internal transfers, because that all happens when you put it all together. That was $36,727,446 as compared to last year at $36,362,360, which was a positive variance of $365,086. After fund balance adjustments for special projects, as you know, we put the Howard College budget together. We have Big Spring, Lamesa, San Angelo together. And then we have a SWID budget that's separate. And so for the total unrestricted, after fund balance adjustments for those special projects, it was a deficit budget of $731,144, and that's due to the San Angelo and SWID projects, which impact those respective campus fund balances. If you just look at Howard College alone, which would be the district, Big Spring, Lamesa, and San Angelo, it's finalized at $32,634,651 as compared to last year's $32,344,962, which is a positive variance of $289,689. And again, It is a deficit budget. Howard College is a deficit budget of $341,597 due to the fund balance expenditures for the San Angelo campus, which come out of that fund balance. The SWID part of that, then, is finalized at $4,092,795 as compared to $4,017,396 or $398. And that's a positive variance of $75,397. It is also a deficit in unrestricted budget of $389,547. And again, that comes out of the fund balance. And so that's kind of an overview of the entire budget. Again, it's a long process. And to get to that point, you have all your budget detail, gave you all of that. And, of course, we worked on the kind of the big umbrella information at the workshop. I would answer any questions that you might have about any of it.
Any questions?
I make a motion that we approve the budget as proposed with a proposed tax rate of 0.0236777, which is the no new revenue rate, less $40,000.
And that actually, yeah, that'll have to be a second.
That'll have to be a
that
second.
Has to be separate. Yeah, that has to be separate.
Okay, but the motion is to approve the budget.
Right.
Second.
Have a motion approved. Had a motion approved. Have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay, motion passes. Thank you very much.
So now I guess I have to make a motion to approve the tax rate, 0.0236777, which is no new revenue minus $40,000.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second? I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passed. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
And can I,
yes,
as a part of that.
Please do that.
So the, because we have to have both, of, as far as that no new revenue, actually, the rate that you just approved, is under the no new revenue rate. The no new revenue rate is 23.75.48. What you proposed at the preliminary workshop was 23.67.77, and that's what you approved, just approved.
Okay.
As a part of that, there are two different parts of that. There is the debt rate, which is 0.20769, which is less than last year's debt service rate, which was 0.27939. The maintenance and operation rate is 21.6008. That is more for M&O by 4.115%, and on a $100,000 home, it's the 2727. And so those are, that's the way that total, your total rate is designed. It's under the total NNR, and those make up the two sections of your 0.236777. Okay, so you understand that. Okay.
Any more questions on that? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, that motion was approved. Move on to our next item, which is a COVID-19 response, status 16.
Okay. All right.
Can I just say to our loyal press, please emphasize that we are under the no new revenue rate for this year. Because apparently some people may have misread it earlier or whatever, and we want them to know that we are under the no new revenue.
Okay. Okay. As you know, we give a report every month on what our status is relative to COVID-19, and I'll just go quickly through this. Cindy goes through and we update where we are on confirmations throughout our service area. Obviously, we all know that confirmations and active cases are up. And I think that, in particular, the chart that shows the active cases, you can see what's going on. It definitely in Tom Green, where we've got higher numbers, Howard County. So we know we've been dealing with that, as well as recoveries are going, they're continuing to go up. We continue to do things with Zoom meetings, and did so with a couple of meetings in the over the last during the month of August, and we're doing legislative outreach that way. Going to the CARES money, we continue to get that money. A lot of this is going out to students, and when we also, as I mentioned earlier, because of the lost appropriation, we were able to recover money with the CARES Act, so that has been a great blessing. Okay, that's all of that. We have started our semester. As you know, we talked about the fact that we were going to have the alert status for or a basically opportunity to move through the different alert status as needed, and we're in amber right now. Therefore, we are implementing along with that in our classes. We confer with our ISDs on potential changes because things are happening differently for school districts. And, for example, one that happened in San Angelo, the local health authority there implemented a control measures on property as it relates to COVID-19, which does require in Tom Green County that students in the public schools are required to mask. And so we're dealing with that as it relates to our San Angelo community. As far as it's not different for us, we still have to, we're still following the governor's order because that Tom Green order did not apply to colleges in Tom Green. And so, but that's an example of how we're working with the school districts as different things happen for them. We are, again, the faculty teaching online courses, we're asking them to create a Zoom room as backup options for video conferencing. High-end web cameras have been purchased that can be used throughout the district to facilitate online learning. For financial aid, on August 6th, the U.S. Department of Education announced a final extension of the pause on student loan repayment, interest and collections until January 31st of 2022. They believe this additional time and definitive date will allow borrowers to plan for resumption of payments and reduce the risk of delinquency and defaults. So that's something our financial aid department is working with our students on. We did have Dreams Week. Integrated into the Dreams Week that we held on the Big Spring, San Angelo, and SWID campuses for 388 students, we implemented our Amber Alert Status Protocol, and it went great. We never even talked about HERF funds. We're accommodating any kind of requests that come in. Resident halls are complete as far as check-in. We are limiting visitation to no outside visitors, dorm students only, and this is in place until after Labor Day, but it could vary depending on COVID-19 cases in the area. No overnight guests are allowed. Cafeteria is open for service. Our Great Western staff, Great Western Dining staff, mask. Student Services purchased 220 at-home COVID-19 tests from Abbott Lab. Buy next now for use in the residence hall as needed. We continue if there's a need for laptops. We work with students on that. We got the light boards for each campus to facilitate distance learning. We continue to keep up with what's going on with state guidelines, and then I've already mentioned the Tom Green County order that went into effect on August the 26th for the school districts, and we're working with them on that. We just continue to respond to anything that is happening, changes, and some of the updating our prison education programs. We are still seeing some, protocols in place at the prisons, and so we're following the guidance of what prison leadership wants us to do. So classes are fluctuating within the prisons, and we're making literally daily decisions on how to go forward. We've had our on-campus clinic, vaccine clinic, for the Big Spring campus last Thursday, and the follow-up will be on September the 23rd, I believe, the second dose. We have our first vaccine clinic for our San Angelo campus on the 3rd, and we have a second one on the 23rd, and we'll have the follow-up, the second doses that will go along with that as well. So that's the update for the COVID-19. There's no changes that I had already shared that we had updated the Open Howard College as well as our alert status relative to what was happening with the surge in the area. And so that would be all I would have, Mr. Chairman and board members.
Okay. Our next item on the agenda then, our 75th anniversary initiative and the delegate Fund for Hope resolution.
Yes. I'll just read this real quick. Whereas Jonas Salk once said, hope lies in dreams, in imagination, and in the courage of those who dare to make dreams into reality. And whereas the munificence of the Delek U.S. Holdings Incorporated Delek Fund for Hope of the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee has been instrumental in enabling Howard College students to have hope, imagination, and courage to make dreams a reality. And whereas the Delek U.S. Holdings Incorporated Delek Fund for Hope of the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee has been a dream maker for Howard College through the decades as a key to making dreams real, as we celebrate our 75th anniversary and focus on student initiatives to continue the legacy of student success. And whereas the most recent gift of $25,000 from Delek U.S. Holdings Incorporated Delek Fund for Hope of the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee will provide scholarships and initiatives for current and future students. Be it therefore resolved that the Board of Trustees of the Howard County Junior College District wishes to express our sincere appreciation to the Delek U.S. Holdings Incorporated Delek Fund for Hope of the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee for their continued generosity to the future of Howard County and its people by supporting dreams and goals for higher education opportunities and for making dreams real during this special time of celebration. Need y'all's.
Very good. I have a motion to approve this resolution.
So moved.
Have a motion to have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Opposed? Very good. Motion passes. Next item is events.
Okay. And so on September 30, as you know, that will be the 75th anniversary of the first day of class. It will end our 10-month effort to celebrate the 75th anniversary in the middle of a pandemic. And so we find ourselves going into that day. Julie is fretting a lot about how we're going to approach it, but we've kind of got a plan A and a plan B and a blended plan A and plan B, but we are getting there. Our plan is that we will begin the morning in San Angelo with a ribbon cutting, and we're going to dedicate, it's going to be outside, and we're going to dedicate the new Builders of San Angelo workshop. You'll remember that was completed, and y'all gave the name to the building. And we'll honor Jamie Rainey for her work and celebrate her retirement. We'll honor the memory of Nelson Davis. And we'll have tours of that building, and we'll be recognizing San Angelo for 48 of the 75 years of service. Then we'll be in La Mesa at 1:30 to honor the memory of Dr. Wayne Smith. We'll be bringing a resolution to you at the next board meeting to honor him. We lost him this last year, and he was very instrumental in the beginning and through the years. In the success of the La Mesa campus. And so we'll have tours, and we'll recognize La Mesa for 49 of our 75 years of service. Then we, at 3:15, we'll be at SWID, and we're going to unveil the signage with our new name. That will be at our entry locations. And we'll have tours on campus. We'll honor the Gary Regan Foundation for their donations to SWID this last year. Recognize the Dom Bonura Memorial Scholarship in memory of Dom, and we'll be recognized in SWID for 40 of our 75 years of service. 4:00, the Big Spring campus will honor several donors that have made our 75th year very important. Some of these have been donors through the entire 75 years, but we're going to particularly focus on those that have been supporting the 75th year, and we'll do that day. Then we're going to have a gala. We're not sure what that gala is going to look like yet, but we are thinking that, and it will be for donors, particularly the donors that, again, several of those individuals. And we're planning to have an opportunity, have a dinner, a video that will include interviews with students from over the 75 years. And that is one of the things that the Delek Foundation gift has allowed us to do. And so we've been working on that. Cindy's been involved in that, working with the company to complete that. We'll also have a live broadcast, as we did for graduation, of that, so that we can allow the opportunity to be in person. So that's what's going on right now. But as I say, we have a plan A, plan B, and a little bit of everything. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Very good.
Can we have an understanding of, I'm thinking back to graduation, as to whether board members are expected to be present at any or all of these, suggested to be present, neutral, suggested not to attend, or restricted?
At this point in time, I would say come. You can go to any of them. And then, because the way that it's being designed, it'll work. And the only thing that would happen as far as at the very end, if we started having surges and we felt like we needed to be really careful, then we might limit our numbers. But right now, we're trying to open it up. Thanks for asking.
So you'll send out?
Yeah, we'll let you know for sure. Yes, sir.
Detailed.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, nothing for Big Spring, La Mesa, San Angelo, or SWID. So we'll go on to agenda item B, performance measure outcomes, quarterly investment report.
All right. As a part of your packet, you had the quarterly investment report. Would you have any questions of that on that?
Any questions on the report? No questions. I'd entertain a motion to approve it.
Have
a second? Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
That's two. I need two more.
Aye.
There's three.
There's four.
Motion passes. Thank you very much. Motion passes. Thanks. Next item is accountability measures. Operational income. Indicators. I'll get it right in a minute.
And we don't have anything to report on that this time, but we do on financial indicators.
Okay. Financial, please.
Okay. On the official summer enrollment, shared that information. We were down this summer. Summer one, we were down by 48 students across the district. That represented what we generally see in the summer, by about 7.3% decrease. Summer two, we were down by 59 students, and that's about a 13.8% decrease. So our numbers were down in the summer, still kind of reflecting what's happening with pandemic numbers. But
do you have an indication on how the fall is?
We're in the process of finalizing that right now, and it's varying by campus. And so it's going to depend by campus as far as what the final number will look like. We could be down some, but it could even out too. It could level out. We're still waiting on some dual credit numbers. So that's why I'm a little hesitant to say.
Okay, next item on the agenda is student success indicators.
Okay, nothing there.
Nothing there. Okay, purchasing central plant compressor to repair Big Spring.
Okay, I'd mentioned to you in an earlier briefing that we were having issues with a chiller on the Big Spring campus, and so I don't know if Fabian wants to give an overview of that. Steve, if y'all want to talk about what happened on that, we'll do that, Fabian.
Sure, as far as like the COVID inspection has been completed?
Yeah.
So we had, we got two contractors. We have Carrier. Those are the folks that manufactured the two chillers that we have in the plant. Then we have Johnson Control. Those are the folks that manage all the controls inside the buildings to make sure our air conditioning and heating works. So we needed to get both of those guys together to work on our system, make sure that our controls were talking to our chiller and the chiller was talking to our controls. But we knew that we had an issue with one of the chillers. So once we got them together to work together for one day, everything started working together, talking to each other the way it's supposed to, but then we found out that, well, we knew that one of the chillers had an issue. And so the Carrier technician looked at it, he started it up, and we heard those internal noises again within the chiller. So then he strongly suggested to us that we not use that chiller anymore. So he ended up deactivating the chiller on the control panel so that nobody else would come in and, you know, possibly turn it on and create further damages. So they suggested that we have an open inspection done to it, and so they came. Carrier came from Fort Worth, and now Carrier from Fort Worth, they are the actual Carrier Corporation, a contractor that sells Carrier products. And so Carrier came, they provided the open inspection, and identified the damaged pieces from within. And so at this point, they're recommending that we continue forward to fix the problem on the Carrier chip.
Okay. And so then from that, Steve, then.
What we have is a bid from the Central Plant Compressor Repair for Big Spring Campus from Carrier Corporation. They are a member of BiBoard, so they have gone through the BiBoard bidding process, BiBoard's bidded, they've done the public notice, all that. So as a member of BiBoard, we can use them. So we are recommending that we use Carrier, since they are manufacturing equipment. They have the tooling to go in and do everything they've got to do. And it's a bid of $85,018 to come in and to finish repair.
And this is something that's included in the budget you just approved.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't.
They're providing a warranty on their.
Yeah.
$85,000. We hope so.
Yeah. They're doing the. They do have a warranty in there. They warrant that all equipment and manufactured. From the typical warranty.
All right. I need a motion to approve or disapprove this purchase.
I move.
You have a motion approved. Do I have a second? Have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you. Motion carries. All right. Handbook catalog changes.
Okay. All right. We have a lot of handbook and catalog changes, and I'm going to try to kind of group these by what they're about. So with the decisions you'd made at the budget workshop, the salary schedules were updated for this year, and so those are a part of the handbook. Adjunct faculty, part-time, we are recommending that we increase the per contact hour so that we are able to get adjunct. Our adjunct cost, our fees, not fees, what we've been paying our adjunct are they're low, and we needed to get them up. So we increased them by $10 per contact hour, depending on the degree level, and that's on adjunct. The cap, we talked about that, going from 10 to 20 years as far as letting people bring in more than 10 years if they started Howard College, and we addressed that. And also, and that's in the broadbanding appendix to the employee handbook, that also any existing employees were reevaluated for that. So that's for those individuals, or for that type of handbook change. We also, as a part of the handbook changes, had policy 4.1, and it is the business and operating procedures, policies and procedures, departmental budgeting and purchasing for supplies and equipment. And we went through, and in your documents you had the old one, everything that was struck, but then we have basically Steve worked on, we have two new handbooks updated, the purchasing handbook and the procurement card handbook, that all relate to this policy. The changes that were made basically were in red, and so that relates to that that group of things. The other thing, as far as business type policies, procedures, we updated all the general facilities rental schedules for every campus, and we'd already, you'll remember, we had worked on the Coliseum one several months back, but we went through and we updated every campus, and in fact this time, which is something that's totally new, we had not had a schedule for our La Mesa campus, and so we added that. Terry actually worked on this with people from each one of the campuses, and we pulled that together. So that's all of the business kinds of handbook changes. Catalog, then, we are excited to share that Howard College has been working with Texas Tech University Health Science Center, something called Early Decision. It's an LVN to ADN degree plan. Basically, it's kind of like what we're doing with Tech Teach, where people are able to get their associate degree at Howard College and then keep going and get their bachelor's degree from Tech and a teaching certificate. Well, this is similar. They're going to get their BSN. And so they're going to, I think we've said it many, many times, but the ADN nurse and the BSN nurse take the same test and to become an RN. The difference has been that with the BSN, a lot of times that's where a lot of the BSN nurses go into management, but they both take the same test, and of course our ADN program does really well. So this is something that they've been working on. Amy, would there be anything you would like to add about that?
One exciting thing is this, and it's actually Texas Tech will take 90 hours from Howard College. And so that's a special, that's outstanding. So the students will sign a declaration of intent that they're going to be, they want to go on to Tech. It's kind of like a conditional admissions process to Tech. And they'll be right aside. They're going to have a Howard College, the little
badge.
Patch, thank you. And a Texas Tech patch on their uniforms at the same time, so it's exciting. And they can be an LVN and go in through our ADN, or they can just come and start the generic ADN program and continue on. So we're really excited. I hope we're going to do more marketing on this and really get the word out, because I think this will be a popular thing. So.
Yeah. And it's for the LVN to ADN as well as the generic ADN program. It's a great opportunity for our nursing program and people that are interested in the area in getting their bachelor's degree.
My granddaughter is doing that.
Oh, she's already? Okay, cool. All right. Cosmetology instructor made changes in that relative to the number of clock hours that are required. And on our business 1311 Explore Entrepreneurship, that is just some changes that have also been made. On tuition and fees relative to tuition for workforce continuing ed courses, we specified in the dual credit section that it would be similar to what we have for other CE in the district, and so we specified that. We don't have a lot of that happening with the school districts, but in some instances it's beginning. So we are recommending that based on the number of contact hours, and the tuition is calculated at $2 per contact hour between $1 to $49.50 to $99, for 100 hours or more, $1 per contact hour. And again, that's what we do with our other CEs. And that'd be it. The only thing is we now have a button maker in our library, in our Anthony Hunt Library. We're trying to do some maker spaces in our library. And in order to do that, there'll be a charge. And so buttons are going to be $5 for $1 to be paid with cash only. So that's something. And then we also removed what we had in there for GoPrint. And we continue to work through getting the GoPrint system to a point that we feel comfortable in charging. We're just not quite there yet. And so we removed that, so there's no charge for students at this point in time. Okay, and then finally, in our athletics manual, these are some state laws that have been changed relative to the title, name, image, and likeness. And again, this relates to what is going on intercollegiate and student athlete compensation and rights. And so it just details how that works and what can happen for the use of their name and what the procedure is. And so it's just detailed out by state law. Okay, and basically our responsibilities, we are to notify incoming student athletes of their right to pursue compensation for use of their name, image, or likeness pursuant to Texas statute and NJCAA rules. And then there's just several other little things. So, it's a lot of changes in the world. Okay. That is all of the handbook and catalog changes. If you have questions.
Okay. If I don't have any questions, I need a motion to approve those changes.
Motion.
I have a motion. A second. Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Annual review of investment policy, public funds, and investment plan.
Right, this is policy 4.11 of your board handbook, and there are no recommended changes, but you reaffirm it on an annual basis, and so we ask for your reaffirmation.
Why don't we go ahead and do the auditor services, renewal depository bank, and your local agreement between Texas and Florida all at one time?
Okay. All right, so the next thing, auditor services, we are recommending that we continue with Logan Thomas Johnson as our lead audit firm, and James continues on an assisted row with Lee Reynolds and Welch. We are recommending the renewal of the depository bank contract with Wells Fargo as allowed by statute for another 2 years. And we also are recommending for your consideration an interlocal agreement for possible shared services in the future as appropriate with the Texas Department of Information Resources.
These people just
ACD. Okay.
All right. I need a motion to approve all those.
Move.
Have a motion. Have a second.
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
All of them carry. Thank you. Construction renovation request.
Okay. Terry has provided an update on the roofing. I don't know if you have any specific questions for him, but basically work continues and we're moving along. Hopefully we're going to be finished at SWID. Maybe in September, and we're working to get, Terry, I'm just talking here, but we are hopeful that we can get the Hailstorm 3 settled, get some kind of a game plan on that, and then things will begin to shift over and continue in earnest on the Big Spring campus. Is that right, Terry? Did I say all that right? Okay.
Very good. Okay, now we're down to President's Report.
Okay, and I'll try to keep you going as far as I can.
Where's the calendar at? Way back in the back.
Probably at the very back. Here. So,
that's right. I didn't dig it out anyway.
Yeah, it's at the back. Okay. All right, so some of these things we've already talked about, so I'm just going to run over right past some of them. For those of you who are on the San Angelo Foundation, we will have a virtual foundation meeting on the 15th. We will have our success summit on the 17th of September. Deaf Awareness Week is the week of September the 19th through the 23rd, and we're going to be working on some activities for that. You can tell by looking at the calendar, we have started our athletic programs. They're starting some of the fall games. And your next board meeting for sure is going to be on September the 27th. In a minute, you may have some other conversation about a potential other board meeting. But I'll stop at that, even though we took you all the way down to get back into the first week of November. We'll update you on that next month. Okay. Recognitions. I shared several thank you notes that we have that again, just people showing appreciation to the college for different things. We'll read through all those. Legislative and general updates. The second special session is almost over. As I had mentioned at previous meetings, the second session really didn't have much to do, special session, didn't have much to do with community colleges at all. But as we move into the fall session, we will see some activity that will to the colleges. community colleges, and that is when they're going to, the state is going to begin looking at additional, as far as federal funding, they're going to look at how that can be applied for universities and community colleges. And so we being the Texas Association of Community Colleges, are working on a platform to be able to get them to show interest in what we had talked about in the last, in the session relative to reskilling and upskilling, if you'll remember that, our efforts to do that as a result of the pandemic and the economic impact. And so I'll come back with some of that information at the next board meeting. But that session, I haven't heard, we actually had a meeting this morning, but because of our executive session, I did not, was unable to participate, but I will be listening to it. And we had been informed that it would probably be that special session would probably be in October. They may have given us some new information this morning that changed that. But at this point, we anticipate it will be in October, and that is going to be the session that will also deal with redistricting, unless they end up doing something different. All right. Then the next thing, conflict disclosure forms. As you know, that's something that you need to do each year, and those are enclosed, and we need to have you sign those today. All right, and then, Mr. Chairman, I think that is as far as I can go.
Patricia and Mark beat me at the voting. With some great appreciation.
You're 5 years.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
You bet. Okay. Possible large resignation. Patricia has got an announcement for us.
Well, I do. If the sale of our house goes through on September 10th, then I will be signing from the board on that day. I just want to say what an honor it has been to serve for Howard College. It's been an awesome place. I'm going to wait till the last day because you never know when you're selling a house, buying a house, anything could happen at the end. So it'll be the 10th of September when all that goes through. I will submit a resignation. Thank you for everything.
Well, thank you.
And we may see you on September 27th.
I'll be here in September. Who knows? Well, things happen. So I can be here in September, so you never know.
Okay, our next agenda, trustee vacancy at large, in case she does close and leave us, it would be my recommendation or my thoughts. I need to hear your thoughts. But we normally, in the past, have appointed people that we know to the board to fill that void, and then they will have to run for election in May as candidates for that permanent position. So it's whatever y'all think. Like I said, that's just my opinion. And
should we do that as a motion or just?
I think we need it as a motion, and then we can meet on the 20th to vote on it, I guess.
Well, what you would do today, if you want to get something in place in anticipation that it happened that Patricia does submit her written resignation on the 10th, then you could have something in place. You have to have a procedure. And so what would happen then if you went, like with the 20th, September 20th, Monday, September 20th, with her closing being on the 10th, we've got to have 72 hours to post, and we need to get the word out that that Patricia has resigned. But we could have then a board meeting on Monday, September 20th. It'd be a special meeting. You would accept the resignation, and then you can, in executive session, then discuss individuals that have interest or you're interested in, however you want to do it. And then after the executive session, you would come back into open session and appoint a replacement. And then the next board meeting would be Monday, September the 27th. And so that's the regular board meeting. And at that time, whoever you appoint would do the oath, statement of officer, all the processes begin relative to what they have to do. Yeah, it's one of those things, right, Ben? When you know you get appointed, and then it's like, and here's your homework assignment.
Back into it.
Here we go. So okay. you would need to decide today how you want to do that. Are you gonna accept names? How do you want to handle that?
Well, would it be just a matter of whether we're going to the basic decision is whether we want to appoint someone.
Appoint.
And then could we say that we want to appoint, and then, you know, kind of a, I would move that should someone decide to resign in the next month, we would want to fill that position by appointment.
Right.
And then we could have a special meeting to determine that.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, is that enough, or do we need to say we're going to, that the actual procedure we're going to go through?
Procedure, you're supposed to, as far as procedure, you're going to go with it, how you're going to do, when you're doing an appointment, the first thing you do is you decide whether you're going to do an appointment or a special election. Okay, so you're deciding you're going to do an appointment. So when you do an appointment, then you have, what are your procedures going to be?
And can we determine those after we get the, after we actually get the resignation, or should we determine those now?
If you want to be able to move on the 20th, you would need to decide now.
Okay.
As far as how you would want to do your process.
And typically our typical process is to review applications, and
if somebody submits interest.
Somebody submits interest to review those names, and
right.
We need to decide whether we want to interview somebody or not, or can we just...
You want to do it. However you want to do it.
Maybe let's take it in pieces. Let's have a motion first to appoint.
Okay.
Let's take that out of the way. Okay, because we know that. And then we can figure out, because we don't know how many people are going to be interested.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a motion
to
that our procedure is to appoint.
To fill
the
upcoming vacancy. So that's just that part.
I have a second.
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. Thank you. Now what?
Okay. So now, you know you're going to do your appointment. Okay, so if you want to, on the 20th, if that's when you want to have another board meeting, then how are you going to go about it? Then what is, do you want people to submit interest? Do you want to have interviews? And yes, you're not going to know how many people. So you could, go down the path of some people that are interested, submit their names, resume, with it, something like that. You can talk about it. All that will be done in executive session as far as the review. That is the way that works. That's not something that you do in open session as far as discussion.
How about if we this is obviously going to be in the paper, and we obviously all know about it, so we can whatever.
Right.
How about if we ask any interested candidate to come to the meeting on September 20th for a potential interview, assuming we have multiple candidates. We could always suspend the interview process if we don't. And those will be the people that will be considered. I mean, that's pretty basic. I mean, you know, they can tell you, ask them to tell us ahead of time so you have an idea.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah, I mean, but basically tell them that anyone who is interested should express, should let, contact you with interest and, or contact whoever you tell us to, and to plan on being here for the meeting on September 20th for an interview. And then we will decide. And if we have one candidate, if we have 10 candidates, because we aren't going to know.
Did we schedule the interviews at staggered? Or?
We did.
Okay. So they would want to schedule the interview. You guys would want to schedule the interview.
Well, that in the past, what we did, yes, we got interest from people, and then we scheduled interviews so that you didn't have everybody just waiting, you know, so you could, right. You know. And so what we could do, we could ask people that were interested to have their name. We'd need to have it. We can't wait until the Friday before the 20th because we've got to post and all that. So I would say, what, Thursday? What would that be? Thursday the 16th? Is that right? Thursday the 16th. I could have looked on that other calendar. The 16th, we could have names. If people were interested, they could submit their interest. And I'm thinking in writing, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Something in writing.
Okay, and they should bring that by your office?
Yes. And then that way, we'll know how many people. And then, depending on the numbers, then we'll set it up accordingly. Y'all just need to be...
Right, you can set up the time.
Right, yeah. And we'll just... I'll be in contact with you and let you know. And you just need to leave Monday the 20th open, not knowing. You know, we'll revolve it around lunch, maybe.
We will have at least one applicant.
Sure. I mean, I would hope.
I know that because I have someone that I've brought to your attention who is willing to do this. So there will be at least one. I mean, great, but... So there'll be at least the one to consider, which, I mean, it's better than calling a meeting for the 20th and having there be nobody to consider.
Sure.
that's kind of problematic. So we've at least got one. And
sure. Well, what we'll do then, I'll just wait and we'll see what kind of interest we get with the names that are submitted in writing. And then at this point in time, I'm just going to say we'll try to keep it around, since you generally, do you want to have it in the morning, after lunch? Probably be, how do you want to do it? Morning. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't look at you, Patricia. You're not going to be involved. You're the cause of this. Yeah. So
11 o'clock again?
Anytime, good with me.
Okay, well, let me see what the names do, you know, what we get, and then if we get interest, and then we'll set the name for the interview stuff accordingly, and then we'll, of course, on Friday, we'll post it, and then we'll set it up, okay?
All right. Sherry? Sherry?
Yes, sir.
Do they need to contact you? Is that going to be the process? Or?
Yes, sir. I think that's what everybody was just saying, that it will come into this, it will come into my office, and we're going to have a letter, have it in writing so that there's no confusion. Make sure, you know, don't want it to get stuck on a recorder and we didn't hear it or something, you know, if we could have or we didn't retrieve it, I should say, not hear it, but didn't retrieve it. So I think having something in writing would be good.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So are we through with that item?
You will need to vote on that, too, because that's your procedure.
Do I have a motion to vote?
I move.
Procedure.
That's our procedure. I move.
I have a second.
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. Thank you. All right. Now we can move on. Meeting evaluation future agenda.
You kind of got all that?
Got that large. Got that done. Done. Business considered next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that concludes our business for today, and as granted by the governor of the state of Texas, this meeting is adjourned.
Okay. Max and Adrian, you heard that?
I think they're gone.
All right, I'm hanging up.
Nobody has something?
No.
We're sorry, your conference is ending now. Please hang up.